Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to The Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Sneaky Joe DiBiase on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, we know what that music means. It's a Friday here. It is Friday, and we have football on Saturday. It is a football week, Joe DiBiase. We are ready to rock and roll. You got that music. You have a game tomorrow. We got Patrick Hammer giving us a weather check today. I mean, we are basically in regular season mode now.
Are you looking out over the field? You're at the stadium, right?
I am at the stadium. I'm actually in the media room, the press conference room. That's where I am right now.
Gotcha.
And the reason I'm here today, just so everybody knows, there's no press conference going on. I have a radio game broadcast production meeting a little bit later. So I'm here and I'll walk right into that. And that's, you know, just to kind of get buttoned up so we all have everything ready for tomorrow for our radio broadcast here on WGR Sports Radio 550. And, of course, along the entire Buffalo Bills radio network. So I'm down here today. I'll be on the show and then I'm going to go into the production meeting. One of the things, though, I did find out today, I want to start with this just so everybody knows if you're listening to this, tomorrow, because it is the first preseason game and you might be wondering about times for things. So the game is at 4 o'clock. It's a 4 o'clock kickoff tomorrow. Abbott Road in front of the stadium will shut down at 11 a.m. So you can't drive, you know, past, what is that, Southwestern right there,
Southwestern,
right?
Yep.
To get in front of where the Bills store is. You can't drive basically to in front of the Bills store after 11 a.m. if you're going that way. Parking lots will open at noon. 4 o'clock game, parking lots are going to open at noon if everybody's coming out here doing tailgating, things like that. Gates will open at 2 p.m., 2 hours before kickoff, gates will open. I know that was a change over the last year, actually, maybe 2 years, but I think it was last year the first time they did it where it was 2 hours instead of 1.5, and it really worked out well. So many more people were in their seats. They weren't having the congestion outside the stadium, which is great. I know it's not going to be a capacity crowd tomorrow. It's a preseason game, but gates opening at 2 p.m. is much better. But there's your timeline for tomorrow, so everybody knows. Abbott Road is going to shut down at 11 a.m. Parking lots are going to open at noon. Gates will open at 2 p.m., kickoff at 4 p.m. So we're ready, man. We're ready for football.
Exciting. How quickly will you go from excited the preseason's here to, okay, can we just start the regular season already? I think I'm like week two, usually, of the preseason for that.
I am, too. I'm usually there pretty quickly. But, you know, I try to keep things in a, you know, kind of in a box, so to speak, I guess, where, yeah, that's definitely like the fan in me and ready to go and all that. But the process of the broadcast and making sure we're all good and doing my job on a weekly basis, you know, I can't get too far ahead of myself. I have to kind of be dialed into what's happening on the field and knowing that and go from week to week. So I try to dial that back a little bit so I don't overdo it and get too far ahead of myself, because there's so many things that we're going to be watching for here in the preseason, which is what I want to talk about today. So we'll do that today here on the Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, thanks for tuning in. It is a Friday. The Bills open preseason football tomorrow. We're going to have Heather Prusak at 11:05 a.m. Heather, of course, at WIVB-TV. She's been out at training camp. She'll give her training camp observations, go through what she thinks about tomorrow, what she's seen so far out at camp. And Joe, we are going to have our buddy Patrick Hammer joining us today at 11:35 a.m. You're going to talk to him. I'll be headed out for that production meeting. And always good to talk to Pat about what's happening with the weather. Last year, he came in super handy throughout the season because of all that weather we had, crazy weather.
It was the craziest weather season maybe ever, at least that I remember. For the Bills, it was. I mean, the win game, obviously New England's the one that stands out, but you had even the snow game against Atlanta, another cold weather game in the playoffs. Yeah, that was a brutal one. This year,
torrential downpour against the Texans. Yeah, I had to literally change my clothes at halftime.
Forgot about that. This year might, there's potential to be a bad weather season too, right? Because we've talked about it, like when the schedule came out, all their warm weather climates that they play in, like LA and Miami, are at the front part of the season. There's home games in December. There's Chicago. There's Cincinnati. So maybe we'll talk with Pat on that. Just the potential for where they're playing and when for this to be like on back-to-back season where there's a lot of bad weather games.
Yeah, all of the basically everything after November is in a cold weather city, essentially, right? I think one in a dome. That's it. That's in Thanksgiving
Detroit.
In Detroit.
Yep.
Cold weather city, but they're in a dome. Other than that, everything's in a colder weather city in the Northeast or whatever. So you're right. L.A. and Miami, the two warm weather places they go to, essentially, are both early in the season. Now, I, of course, knew that, you know, it was on the radar that the Bills could be the opening game in L.A., and that's super cool. But, you know, personally, I kind of wanted it to be in November, December to go to L.A. Same thing with Miami, to enjoy that. And that's happened before, but, you know, that's not happening this year. So we'll get with Patrick, and Joe will talk to him about the weather. You also have to ask him about Metallica last night.
Yes, I will absolutely do that. I actually went to the fair last night, and we're driving to the fair, and I'm like, what is all this traffic? I'm like, oh, duh, Metallica's playing tonight. That was dumb.
Oh, yeah.
Driving, I mean, not to go to the fair, but to leave at the exact time when everybody would have been trying to drive to the stadium to see Metallica. So it sounded like a great time, though. It's definitely a show I'd like to experience, or a show like it. Because I a lot of country concerts, hip-hop, like pop and whatnot. I don't think I've ever been to a concert where, would you consider Metallica like heavy metal? Like a heavy metal show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're rock. They're heavy metal for sure. Yeah, I would categorize them that. I think they're categorized as that. I told you, like, I would have loved to have gone to Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett. I mean, all four of those groups right in my wheelhouse. Love them all. I've seen Motley Crue. I went to Motley Crue at Darien Lake 10 years ago. And even then, Vince Neil's voice was not good. So they pumped up the music. But I didn't care. It was literally the novelty of being there. And then I saw Def Leppard when they came in maybe 2017, 2018, right around there. They were at the arena. I'd never seen Poison. I'd never seen Joan Jett. But I would have definitely gone to that as well.
Hmm. They're still all kicking it out there, huh? By the way, in their 60s. Just still going?
I know, right?
I asked Jeremy this the other day. Like, I have no idea who's going to be doing stadium shows in 20 years. Like, it's because everyone that does stadium shows now, it's either like a Garth Brooks, like a country artist, or it's bands that were first becoming popular like in the 80s. Like, who in 20 years is going to be? Maybe it will still be Metallica and Def Leppard in their 90s going out there, maybe. But I don't, I wonder, you know, who that'll be, because it's a lot of nostalgia at these big shows that you're seeing.
Well, you know, I'm a big U2 fan. Well, we've talked about that before, right? I mean, like, I really like U2. I've seen them, what, 5 times in 4 different cities. It's great. Like, whenever they're on tour, I try to go somewhere. And even them, like, U2 now is 62. Like, Bono is 62 years old. They're in their 60s. And they're, again, they're back in studio. They're putting out another album maybe within the year, and they're going back on tour next year. So, yeah, this is like, it's just every couple of years you see, you don't think about that until you kind of think about it, right? Oh, my God, they've been around a while. I mean, U2 was literally like touring. Their big Joshua Tree tour was in the 80s when I was in early high school. And they played in Buffalo. This is the story I think, you know, people probably know, a lot of people listening know. Believe it or not, U2 played in Buffalo the night John Lennon was killed in 1980 or 1981. They were in Buffalo playing. That's how long they've been touring.
Hmm. Wow.
Pretty amazing. And yeah, and they're in the same group when I think about the age. You know, Bruce Springsteen, I think he's still out there, right?
Touring. Yeah, he's still going.
Not young anymore.
It's you know what it's really going to be? It's not going to be bands in 20 years. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be Taylor Swift. It's going to be Beyonce. It's going to be like these individual artists, I think, that are probably, that's probably going to be what it is. Maybe the day of the legendary band is past us.
Bruce Springsteen, 72 years old. He will be 73 in just over a month. Pretty wild to think about right there. I've seen him in concert. He puts on a good show, plays for a very long time, doesn't even take a break. Joe, I know you're not going to be part of the broadcast tomorrow. I think you got something going on. But when you normally come to the stadium for games, how long before the game do you get here?
Well, since, you know, the show gets going, the pregame show, countdown to kickoff that I'm a part of, gets going at 10 on game days. With that being like a heavy period for traffic, I'll usually get to the stadium for a 1 o'clock game, I should say, for, you know, probably around like 9:15 is what I'll aim for, just to make sure I have as much, you know, wiggle room as I need if there's really, really bad traffic. So yeah, like what, about 3 hours before kickoff is probably it's probably about it for me. About 4 hours before kickoff, actually.
Yeah, about 4 hours. I'm usually here around 8 o'clock for the same reason. I try to do a radio hit with you guys. I get here, I get things situated. I try to get here 8 o'clock, also because of the traffic, and I don't want to wait too long. You don't want to be in a situation where something happens and you're stuck. I like to be places early anyway. When we're on the road, you know, I get on one of the buses that shuttles staff and media from the team hotel over to the stadium. And generally, that bus that I take pulls into that stadium at 9 a.m. Now, in that particular instance, I don't have to worry about traffic. Right? I mean, the team bus, and they have a escort. They get to the stadium. But in that situation, I get there around 9 a.m. But it is interesting. You know, people like to kind of have their routines and go about it differently. So, you know, just going back to what I said earlier, parking lots open at noon tomorrow. That's 4 hours before the game. I know people like to do the RV thing, and they come here. But, you know, it's great. It's going to be great tomorrow. It's going to be a great day. And just a spoiler alert, I think Pat's going to give you a great weather report today from what I've seen. It's going to be a cool day out there tomorrow, right? Are you excited? I mean, this is the start of what should be a really excellent Buffalo Bills season. There's no guarantees. They are the betting line favorite to win the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited to kind of see where this team goes, what they can do. More so, Joe, maybe just excited to get back into the stadium and see people and, you know, have that experience again with fans.
Yeah. Speaking of them being the favorite, did you see from me yesterday that they are now favored in every single game that's up for this season? That includes the opener. There's been movement there. They're now favored by 2.5 at the Rams. They're favored by 1 at Baltimore, and they're favored by 1.5 at Kansas City. Like, they're now expected to, by the betting lines, to win every game. They obviously, by probabilities, wouldn't be expected to go 17-0. But it's weird, right? Like, when fans show up tomorrow, we talked about this at camp a little bit, that there's like a different vibe in the air, that like, this is just, we're hanging out, we're having a good time, and we're not really worried about much right now. And I think that's going to be tomorrow. You just kind of show up and watch the team. Just, like, that's it. Not worry about, you know, like, is the quarterback going to be good, like we have so many times before. Worry about holes around the roster, because they don't really have any holes around the roster. So tomorrow might be, you know, like, the first time fans show up to a preseason game in a long time and just kind of hang out, watch it, and not really, you know, not be trying to like figure anything out. Like, there's some things you want to watch for, like different competitions, the safety position, if Hyde and Poyer don't play, which I think is the expectation. How does Kyer Elam look? There are little things, but yeah, Sal, I think it's a whole nother atmosphere, I think, with this Bills team this year than what we've been accustomed to, even maybe in the past 3-4 years since McDermott and Bean got here.
Last Baltimore Ravens extended their preseason winning streak to what, 21 games, right? 21 games, 21. One in a row.
Bills are at 8.
23-10 over the Tennessee Titans. I think the Bills have the second longest streak. I'm not positive on that, but it feels like they do. They have won 8 in a row. The last time they lost, we talked about it yesterday, the Cincinnati Bengals, when they came to town, Andy Dalton, the return to him after the drought was broken. Of course, they didn't have any preseason game in 2020 due to the pandemic, but it has been 8 in a row. And I think a common thread is just two organizations that do a great job of scouting and developing. The bottom of their roster is better than most teams' bottom of their roster. And that helps out when you're playing in these preseason games. I think they play the game to win, basically, right? You're trying to, it's not the end-all, be-all to win, but the culture of that matters. The culture of at least trying to get people and you get your players and everybody in your organization on the same page of, you know, trying to win the game. You're not just throwing it away at the end. You're doing what you have to do to try and win. And that, you owe it to the players who are out in the field to do that. They're competing. They're trying for jobs, and they want to win, you know. So I think that kind of all comes together. Now, of course, there's some luck along the way. There's bounces along the way. There's a big comeback against the Chicago Bears along the way with A.J. McCarron. I think the Bills may have won in a last-second field goal in one of those Detroit games over the last couple of years. You know, those kinds of things for sure happen. But as you are going through that process, you get to see some of these players, obviously, who are fighting for roster spots, and are going to show up and be the guy that we're all talking about. I looked last night, like, I didn't watch much of the Giants-Patriots game. I watched a little bit of it. I woke up today to look at the stats, Joe. Obviously, Tyrod Taylor, you know, he's going to play. He threw for 129 yards. How about our guy Antonio Williams, the leading rusher? Remember him for the Bills? 9 carries, 61 yards, 6.8 yards a carry. I guarantee you Antonio Williams is getting the same kind of love in New York today that he got from Bills fans, except for the fact that everybody knows they have Saquon Barkley in front of him, so obviously he's not eating into those carries.
He's not eating those carries. There's definitely more an opportunity for him to earn a roster spot there. The Bills, even though they've not had like a Barkley, like a premier like number one running back, with Moss and Singletary and last year was Breida before that Yeldon, it's always been very hard to carve out a roster spot on this running back group. The Giants, like, behind Barkley, it's Breida, but as the number two, and that's kind of it. So, yeah, Williams might find a home in the NFL, and, like, definitely, daily, if playing any daily fantasy in the preseason, he might be a good idea. Did you see the other former Bill that had a carry in that game last night? Did not know.
I did not.
Did not know Robert Foster is still hanging out in the league.
Oh, Robert Foster. Robert Foster.
Who obviously Joe Shane and Dable, Brian Dable would be familiar with him too, from obviously that rookie season for Allen.
Was it like an end around? He had a 9-yard carry, I see.
I think so. I didn't see the play. I just saw his name on there. But I would guess so. So, yeah, a couple former Bills in that game yesterday.
If you're a Giants fan, let me ask you this. If you're a Giants fan, are you mad that Saquon Barkley even played last night? Why are you doing this?
I would be. What do you need to see from Saquon Barkley, who, by the way, has had injury problems 3 years in a row now? So, for me, especially the running back position, I don't need to see anything. Anything. Like, I would think that way about the Bills tomorrow. What don't I know about Devin Singletary at this point? What don't I know about Zach Moss? Cook is different. James Cook, to me, is a little bit different because he's a rookie, and he has not played in the NFL, and there's learning and there's growth that he needs to take. But yeah, when you have a veteran running back like that, those guys only have a finite amount of carries in their bodies. Like when you hit age 30 and you hit, there's a number out there. It's like 12, whatever the number of carries is. That like there's a wall that a lot of running backs hit. Those guys only have so many carries. Giving even 5. In the preseason, I don't know. I think it's a little bit of a waste at that position specifically. But again, for the Bills' sake, like, and I think we'll get this, Sal. Like, I think James Cook is the one that, like, all right, yeah, no, play him. Like, I'm good playing him at least a little bit because still trying to figure out, I think, how you want to use him and what his role is going to be.
Did you see the stat line for the Patriots receivers?
I know Tyquan Thornton caught a touchdown, but past that, I do not. I did not see it.
He only had 2 catches. One was a touchdown. He had 9 yards receiving. They had 3 players with over 60 yards receiving, the Patriots, and none of them are players that you would guess necessarily because it's preseason. But they had a player, Christian Wilkerson, who had 8 catches for 99 yards last night.
Mm-hmm.
Then Trey Nixon, 4 catches for 81, and let me say his name right, Lil Jordan Humphrey. That's his name he's listed as, Lil Jordan Humphrey. Yeah. 6 catches for 62 yards and a touchdown. They had some receivers that had nice days, and that's with Zappe and Brian Hoyer throwing to them. Mac Jones did not play at all. So that was a little interesting stat line from those receivers.
Little curious, right, that with all the turmoil at Patriots camp and how sloppy it's been, right? Like the type of turmoil that it's been. Sloppy, confusion, frustration, and that's coming with a new offensive coordinator, maybe co-offensive coordinators, because it looked like yesterday Patricia and Joe Judge were both calling plays at different times on offense. So new coordinators, new scheme, new a lot of things. And they decided, yeah, we're not going to play Mac Jones. Like, you might think that might be the situation most in the league, that you need reps in the preseason. And I'm not here to criticize that. Maybe it's just another sign that these teams just don't think the preseason's all that valuable as a rehearsal anymore. But New England kind of told you that last night, didn't they? But it is strange. Like, I would have guessed that they would have played Mac Jones given what their camp has sounded like.
And I'll even say this. I think, if I remember right, I think Belichick has been a guy who does play guys, like, in the preseason. Like, he doesn't give them all off. You know what I mean? He values the reps they get. So it is even more interesting from that standpoint that happened. We'll see what they do preseason game number 2. Just putting a bow on last night a little bit, I guess the story in the Tennessee-Baltimore game, outside of Baltimore keeping that streak alive, would be for Tennessee, Malik Willis. He actually played. He went 6 of 11 for 107 yards, but he also ran 5 times for 38 yards. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's a very good athlete, you know, 7.6 yards a carry. He came out of the game. I saw a quote today from Vrabel.
Yeah.
He was asked, like, why did you take him out? And he said, well, we wanted him to throw the ball, and he didn't. So then we put Logan Woodside in.
He pulled him after maybe it was mid-drive on one where he didn't throw the football. And okay. I saw an interesting stat on that from last night, kind of in response to Vrabel saying that Malik Willis on his rush attempts last night averaged 7.6 yards. Per rush attempt, 7.6 yards yes. when he scrambled. And Logan Woodside, who came in after, threw 2 interceptions and averaged 4.8 yards per pass attempt. So, wow. If we were in Tennessee, what would we be saying about that? Maybe a little concerning of, is this the right team for this quarterback? When, I would compare it to how the Bills went. I know it's a bit different, obviously, because Allen was a first-round pick, and, like, you knew... Plan was he's going to be the franchise quarterback. Malik Willis, 3rd-round pick. Maybe they'd be open to him becoming that, but they're not probably planning on that happening. With Allen, it felt like Sal, the Bills kind of let him do his thing when it came to running. Like, just, you know what, play your game. We're not going to micromanage you and, like, yell at you when you come to the sidelines because you ran for 6 yards and you could have thrown it for 10. Like, just be you. Like, we'll work on the passing as time goes on, and eventually that did happen. With Willis, though, I don't know, when you pull him like that, aren't you making him second-guess himself? Because now I would imagine the next time Malik Willis is on the field, he might look and see open field where he can scramble for 10 yards and might second-guess himself, Sal, and hesitate and think, ooh, do I have to double-check to make sure anyone's open 15 yards down the field?
That's a great point. I didn't even think about it from those terms, but you're right, because now I think back to... You remember the video that the NFL tweeted out, and we talked about, like, Rod Streeter and the thump when Ray caught the ball, yes. and Josh's first preseason action. And if you go back and watch that video, so the NFL account tweeted it out, and how Josh Allen, his first preseason, what it looked like. And I remember it. I watched it, and I said, oh, I remember these plays. Watch that video, and there are definitely plays in there where Allen, like, he drops back to pass, and he looks to run quickly. Like, it's like, okay, everything's gone. I gotta go. And they didn't take that away from him. You're right about that. It sounds like that's what they took away from Willis. No, you can't do that. You got to stay in the pocket and go through your reads, basically. And I think Allen is better served for having gone through that when saying, like, at the time, like, hey, that's the case. So, yeah, you're going to get better at getting your reads in. You're going to get better. You're not going to look to run first. But I will tell you, Joe, I think that if you go back and watch it and then think of Allen now, the dramatic difference in his game. Yes, he still runs. He definitely took off very, very early in those situations in that preseason.
Yeah, and you know, maybe it'll be different. If Willis gets into a game, that's a better offensive line than what the Bills had when Allen showed up as a rookie. It's a better receiving core. Like, there's more to work with. That was part of the story of Allen in his rookie year was sometimes he had to run because he had Vlad Dukas starting at guard. And no one, and you had Kelvin Benjamin. Like, no one was getting open down the field. So... a lot of times he had to run out of necessity, but I think the freedom they gave him, you know, and the trust they put in him kind of allowed him to develop into the quarterback he's become. And I would not expect Willis becomes Josh Allen, but while it wasn't a first round pick, it wasn't nothing. Like, a 3rd round pick is not nothing. And he is a quarterback where I think you have to consider or at least try to develop him the right way into a special type of talent. Because while there, you even saw it last night, he was very trigger happy leaving the pocket. He was inaccurate at times, and the mechanics were kind of all over the place. But you also saw, wow, look how fast he is. Look how elusive he is running. Look how far he can throw the football. He had one bomb down the field that I think had at least 50 plus air yards on it that he completed. You saw a lot of the physical traits that had draft pundits talking about him as a first-round pick leading up to the draft. Like, you saw the raw ability. And if I'm Tennessee, I'm not forcing him in even maybe this year because they're probably competing for the AFC South. But I don't know. I think I'd want to get a look at that at some point. I'd want to get a look at Willis, and I'd really want to be trying hard, I think, to develop him as best I can because, again... because of his physical ability, Sal, the sky's the limit. The sky's not likely, but I think the sky is the limit with him.
803-0550, 888-550-2550. If you want to jump on board, what are you looking for the preseason starting tomorrow against the Colts? When we come back, Joe, you might have already looked at a lot of preseason stats, you know, because you're on the show with Jeremy and you guys do this stuff. I don't know if you did from the last couple of years. I want to ask you if you remember some things for the last couple of years, but also kind of tie it into what we expect this year when we come back. So don't go cheating right now, okay? Don't go look at those. I'm going to bring up some preseason stats from last year for the Bills. We'll kind of rewind it a little bit. We'll take a look back last year, and I want to kind of play a little game of what we expect this year as far as some numbers are concerned and who we expect to get those numbers. We'll do that. Sal Capaccio down here in the media room at One Bills Drive. See Joe DiBiase in our Amherst studios. It's the Extra Point Show. It's a Friday. The Bills open preseason tomorrow in Buffalo. We'll be back after this timeout on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, obviously, I think around the league, you don't really call what you're going to call in the season. But there is different ways that you can look at it in terms of, hey, this defensive coordinator that we're playing came from this system. So defensively, what are they doing? What can they do? You know, and again, it's football at the end of the day. You know, I love preseason because I get to sit back and cheer my brothers on and see you guys compete.
Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen, we know he will not play tomorrow when the Bills take on the Colts at 4 p.m. We also know that Matt Ryan will play, and pretty extensively, actually. Frank Reich made that announcement, the head coach of the Colts. So I'm excited for that, Joe. I think that a test for this secondary that's battling for positions, I think it's pretty cool to see them go up against a quarterback like Matt Ryan and the receivers they're going to bring to the table.
Kind of interesting that Matt Ryan played in the NFL for 13 years without ever making a trip to Buffalo, and twice in his last three games, I believe he's making a trip to Buffalo.
That's a good point, because remember they played up in Atlanta that one year. Up in Toronto. Played up in Toronto that one year. So let's think back to last year's preseason, Joe. I'm going to ask you a couple trivia questions. Let's see how much you remember.
Okay. Love it.
Who had the most carries for the Bills in preseason last year?
Antonio Williams.
No, he's pretty. He's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five people had more carries than Antonio Williams.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, most carries. Singletary played in the Lions game and maybe with the starters. I'll you know what? Maybe I'll go with a non-depth guy. I'll go with Singletary.
Singletary was one of only three to have double-digit carries, so that's a good one. I'll give you a hint, is a player that was kind of not on the active roster. Not an active on game day a lot, but he was on the active roster.
Matt Breida.
16 carries, 61 yards. Behind him, Reggie Gilliam, 11 carries last year.
Really? Okay.
Can you remember any Reggie Gilliam carry from the preseason last year?
I actually think I might, because I remember there was a game where Antonio Williams, I think, got hurt. And I was wondering, who's going to go in at running back? Because I didn't think of Gilliam. Gilliam's listed as a fullback. So I'm like, it's going to be Breida, Moss, or Singletary. So someone they probably want to play in the regular season, but it's going to have to play here.
Yeah.
But then they just put Gilliam in. I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Without risking any of the other running backs, just throw Gilliam in there. And he did, I think, fine. I don't remember the stats, but...
He had two touchdowns, by the way. He had 11 carries, 32 yards, and two touchdowns. He averaged less than 3 yards a carry, but he did get into the end zone twice. So, that being said, if you know that it was last year Breida, Gilliam, Singletary in that order, what would you think this year looks like? Who's going to lead the team in carries?
This year, who's their Breida? Well... Moss?
Mike? I think it might be Zach Moss.
I think Zach Moss. Zach Moss might be the favorite. Now, remember, Williams, I don't remember what game that was. Williams did get hurt last year. So, might predict second is going to be like a guy that is not going to make the roster. So,
Duke Johnson?
I was actually going to go with Raheem Blackshear.
Okay, I like it.
Is he the fifth guy on the depth chart? Fifth or sixth?
Is he the new Antonio Williams, kind of, right?
Yeah.
Is he what he is?
Yeah, he's the guy that we're going to get a call in 2 weeks of, hey, this Blackshear guy looks pretty good, but we know he's not going to make it. so him slash Duke Johnson. Because Duke Johnson would be someone that's fighting for the team, but probably on the outside looking in. So I think that would make sense that guys like that would start to get some carries.
All right, so let's go to receiving.
Okay.
It's funny, I'm going to give you the top receiver in a minute. Well, actually, there's a tie at top receiver. I don't think you'll get the two guys. You might get the first guy, but the other one is not a receiver or a tight. He's a running back, and I totally forgot he was even here because he does not show up on the carries list. There's a running back last year who had 8 catches but no carries. Do you know who that is?
8 catches, no carries. I feel like we named all the running backs.
I thought we did too,
except for Christian Wade, but he was injured, so he never played.
That's right.
So is this a name where you would think most people have heard the name, or is this like a out of nowhere guy that most don't know?
He played in the league, but you'd be like, wait a minute, when was he on the Bills in preseason? Bilal Powell.
No way.
Yep.
What? That happened? Bilal Powell was on the Bills? Like for the preseason?
Says. Hold on, unless I'm getting the wrong. Okay, wait a minute. Maybe I...
Is it a different Powell?
Bilal? It's got to be a different Powell, right?
Who
was the Powell last year?
Bilal Powell hasn't played in the NFL since 2019.
Okay, good. Okay, good. That's what I thought this said. B. Powell. See? It's Friday, folks. All right, let me just go game by game here. Who was Powell on the team last year? Who was the Powell on the team last year?
I'm quick at this. Let's see how quick. Brandon Powell.
Brandon Powell. I thought it was Bilal Powell. That's right.
Brandon Powell.
Thank you. Brandon Powell.
Yeah, no, never.
That was a disaster on my part. My apologies. I was thinking Bilal Powell for some reason, looking at the B. Powell on the list.
Yeah, I was never, never, ever, ever getting to Brandon Powell in a million years.
Okay, so no Brandon Powell. But anyway, the person that Brandon Powell had the most receptions with last year, tied, is a known player on the Buffalo Bills. They both had 8 catches in preseason last year.
Gabriel Davis.
Yes, Gabe Davis actually had 8 catches last year to lead the Bills in preseason catches. Now, he became, you know, better in the player that at the end of the year, like, oh my God, 4 touchdowns. We are here where we are with Gabe Davis now. When you think back last year, does that kind of surprise you that Gabe Davis was playing so much and had 8 catches?
A little bit. I don't remember what I thought of it. I probably would have been annoyed because I wanted to see him get an expanded role. And it didn't really happen at the beginning of the year. So I guess it doesn't stun me because he was the fourth guy. Like, he was a depth guy. He was behind Emmanuel Sanders. They might have been open to him, and he did, kind of, you know, taking a step forward. But, no, when the season started, that's not surprising because he was a backup, right? So I think that makes a lot, right? I mean, given that Diggs doesn't play in the preseason, and they, because of Beasley and Sanders' age, not wanting to give them too much work, yeah, he, like, when starters were in, I would imagine he would have been the guy in that preseason.
I'm never going to live down Bilal Powell here, by the way.
Bilal Powell. Right,
so Gabe Davis and Brandon Powell were the top two guys last year. And right after that was Isaiah McKenzie. I don't think it surprises you, given the role that he had. After that was Marquez Stevenson. And then we get to the Breidas of the world, Tanner Gentry, Jacob Hollister was on the team. So what does that look like this year? Who is this year's guy to lead? Is there a guy like a Gabe Davis, which is, yeah, he's going to be a player on the team, but he's not necessarily a starter, but he certainly has a role, and he's going to get some time in the preseason.
I guess who would that be? Like, would Crowder play that much in the preseason to where he would be that guy? I don't think so, because he's a veteran.
I think Khalil Shakir could qualify for this.
Shakir is good for this. Shakir might be one of my favorites. He's going to play a lot. He's maybe pretty good. And since he's like the perfect combination of rookie and also might have a role, even if it's a small one, on offense, you could see him play early and late. So yeah, he might be good just because he probably figure he's going to play a lot.
I'm looking at tight ends here as I go through.
Tommy Sweeney would be my guy for this year. Tommy Sweeney.
Yeah, he was way down the list actually. He only had two catches. Remember, he was coming back from myocarditis from the year before too.
Yep. And then
Dawson Knox.
Well, I guess, no, Hollister was here. I was going to say he was the number two tight end, but not really, right? Preseason started, and I think we all thought Hollister was the number two.
Hollister had four catches to lead tight ends. Nate Becker had three catches. Nate Becker was second on the team. Dawson Knox was tied for that. He had three catches, and Tommy Sweeney had two catches. So those were the guys right there. All right, let's take a look. Who were the return guys last year? Let's see who had returns. Okay, not surprising. I mean, they gave Isaiah most of the return duties. He had four, but then it was Marquez Stevenson. Marquez Stevenson had three punt returns, five kickoff returns, including the punt return for a touchdown against the Bears that he did. Basically, we found out later, on a broken foot, which was pretty incredible. At this point, and Brandon Powell, by the way, had a couple of returns.
Brandon Powell, there he is.
At this point, though, is there a return guy? Because Stevenson is hurt. He's not going to do it. Who's the return guy during preseason to try and win the job? Because I don't think it's going to be McKenzie based on what we've seen and how much he's been, you know, used on offense and what we think his role is going to be.
My first thought was Tavon Austin. But, I don't know, Austin's 32. The Bills might think they know what he provides them as a returner. So I might want to cop out and answer Shakir again. Because maybe they're curious about Shakir and, hey, can he do this? Like, let's see what it looks like. Because, again, Austin, you know, you probably want him to get some reps, but 32 years old, almost 10 years in the league. I think you should know what he is. Like, he's going to be a stable return guy for you. Whereas Shakir, like, we don't know. So I would say Shakir, and then, well, Stevenson is a no, right, because he's injured?
Stevenson's not playing tomorrow, for sure. He's injured.
So I think I'd go Shakir.
I would say that he might, based on the way McDermott made it sound last week, he could miss the whole preseason for all we know.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to answer Shakir then. I think Shakir gets the most returns in the preseason. And, like, they give him a shot to earn that role.
That's punt returns we're talking. I don't know how kickoff returns look. I mean, you could almost have anybody back there. Kickoff returns are a little bit different. You know, how that works. I think James Cook could be in the mix there. We'll see. Shakir. Duke Johnson could be in the mix there. He could be in punt return mix as well. I agree. I think Shakir might be the guy. I'd like to see that. And look, I've been saying all along, I think he's a sneaky play to be a return man on this team. He did it at Boise State. He was not bad at it. He doesn't have that top-end breakaway speed, but a lot of times he makes that first guy miss, and that's all you need, and that's good for a good 6-7 yard return, which kind of helps you in field position. So I think Shakir is definitely a guy for this. All right, you know the quarterbacks last year who were on the team, but you know, interestingly enough, they were all kind of pretty similar in how many attempts they had in preseason, including Josh Allen. So rank these quarterbacks from what you remember, how many attempts they had in preseason last year. Josh Allen, Mitch Trubisky, Davis Webb, and Jake Fromm.
Rank them in terms of how I remember them?
Attempts you think they had? Okay. Who had the most attempts from the quarterback group last year? I just gave you the four quarterbacks.
Jake
who
Fromm.
Had the most attempts?
Jake Fromm, I'm guessing he was number one.
He did. He had 36 attempts last year in preseason. Who was number two?
Davis Webb.
Good job. He had
and then
28.
Trubisky, 3.
No, wait. I'm sorry. That is not true.
Oh.
Trubisky had 30.
Trubisky had 30 and Webb had 28. Okay, so then Allen.
And then
Allen
Josh
was last.
Allen had 26, which is pretty close.
Right, they were all in that Green Bay game. He had 26 attempts in one half of that Green Bay game.
Incredible, right? They just went out slinging the ball, apparently, against Green Bay.
Wow.
He was 20 of 26, which is a 77% completion rate. Two touchdowns, no interceptions. Josh Allen lit it up last year against Green Bay in preseason, Joe.
Yeah, this is the one where I might most be not knowing like what that'll look like this year, because there's no camp arm, if you will, like developmental arm, maybe is the way to put it, like what Jake Fromm was, development guy. This year, it's the two veterans. You've got your Davis Webb replacement and Matt Barkley, and you've got your Trubisky replacement in Case Keenum, but there's no Fromm replacement. So maybe Allen plays a half again, and that's going to be 20 to 30 attempts. And then, I mean, Keenum and Barkley split up the rest of it, and I don't think you want to put too much on Keenum's plate, given that he is the immediate backup to Allen. So I guess my best guess would be Barkley, right? Barkley leads the team in attempts for the preseason.
I think that's right. I think that's right. I think I don't know what it's going to look like tomorrow yet. My guess is you could do a split tomorrow. Maybe Keenum gets a half, Barkley gets a half.
Yeah.
If your plan is for Josh Allen to play the third game, which I don't know either, if your plan is for that, then you probably get Allen and then mostly Keenum in that game, because that obviously feels like it's more of a regular season situation. So then what does that do for Barkley for these first two games? Does he get more of the work in these first two games than Keenum would, because Allen's going to get mixed in? I think that's what you have to balance. But I agree with you. At the end of the day, you might be looking at Barkley. I don't know. I wouldn't rule out Keenum leading the team in attempts. Like, to me, he feels like he's going to play every game in some fashion.
I also wouldn't rule out them bringing in another quarterback just to get passes in, just to use them up, because they used to do that, not maybe this regime, yep, but the Bills used to do that when there was a fourth preseason game. I actually was looking this up earlier because I'm putting some trivia together for next week, and I came across Keith Wenning, who the Bills signed the day before a preseason game. He played the preseason game, and then they cut him. They did that with Jordan Palmer, who's now the famous quarterback coach, Allen's personal quarterback coach. And they did it 1 year with Matt Sims. Sims was here the year before. The next year, he wasn't on the team. They signed him right before the fourth preseason game and played him. Now, again, that's a little different, I think, now that there's three, because the third one is typically the dress rehearsal. I don't think we know what the Bills will do with that, because maybe they want to do that in the home game, not just necessarily the third game. But let's say I'll put Allen in the home game. Then the third preseason game on the road, would they just sign anyone up? They did it with Matt Leinart too, I should have mentioned. It's the most famous one. Would they just sign someone off the street and be like, Barkley is our Webb. He's our quarterback coach in the room at the position.
Mm-hmm.
Keenum's the backup, so we don't want to play him a lot either. Allen's obviously not playing. So, I would leave the door open to...
I just came up with a great idea.
They just sign
just
a fourth guy.
I just came up with a great idea.
Who?
All right, well, first of all, to answer your question, you have to think about numbers. They have to cut to 85 after this game. They have to cut to 75 after the second game. You can't just... You know, you don't want to necessarily do that at the expense of somebody you want to keep around. But they can do it, there's no doubt. Here's the idea. Are you ready?
Yep.
And then we'll go to break. I'm going to see how this feels. Third preseason game for the Bills. Sal Capaccio's idea. That's when you sign Ryan Fitzpatrick to a one-day contract. He comes in. He throws a few passes. Everybody's good. Fitz retires a Bill, and you don't have to use those arms.
I love it. Yeah, I'm good with, hey, that's a good idea. And just rotate it each year. Sign someone fans are going to be interested in. Hey, you want to watch Ryan Fitzpatrick today? Here you go. Hey, you remember Matt Schaub? We just brought him back. He's going to throw some passes today for us. Just sign quarterbacks people have heard of. I like it. Fitz for week three. I'm in.
We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll look at the defense, what happened last year. Can't leave those guys off. Got a couple of questions. We'll kind of bounce around on what that looks like for the preseason this year. And remember, back to 2021 as well in the Extra Point Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Well, it's important, John, to have that mentality. Just find a way to win. You know, no matter how you do it, it may not satisfy the critics if you win by 1 point to a team that they deem is not worthy of being up against you. And you can't get caught up in that. You just got to find a way to win in our league. It's a tough, tough league to win in. But just that mentality is a big deal. Find a way. Somehow, some way, find a way.
All right, that's Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier. Joe, I got a couple minutes. I got to bolt out of here to the radio production meeting before tomorrow. You got Heather Prusak next hour. You got Pat Hammer next hour. Before I do that, lots of great responses. People are definitely with me on my Ryan Fitzpatrick idea. Sign him the day before the final preseason game. Let him play that game. He can retire a Bill. You save on your arms in the quarterback room. I think it's a genius idea on my part. I mean, someone did tweet in, why would he ever want to play a preseason game? I mean, I don't know. Just because it's my idea, he should do it. That's all. That's what I think.
I think, Corey, you should definitely cut Sal saying just specifically, I think it was a genius idea on my part, and we can use that interchangeably throughout the weeks and months of the season. I like it. I do think it's a genius idea, though. I like, let's get some intrigue into the preseason, especially the third preseason game, like you're bringing up, where most people are at the point of, let's just get to the Ram game. And suddenly, oh, Fitz is playing? Okay, fun, I'm in. Like, I would go to that game. I might would travel for that game to see Fitz play one more time in a Bills uni.
Rob tweets in, why would he want to play, that was Rob who said that, preseason game. Rob, I'm not to be, I don't think you should be taking this that seriously, but that's okay. I don't think he would, but you know what? You never know. I guess that's the point here. All right, so real quick, defense next year, last year, defense, three players had more than one sack. One is a starter on this year's defense, I would say.
Greg Rousseau.
Yes, he had two. The other two, one is a backup on this team, probably, I mean, outside looking in on the roster, but he's been around, practice squad guy. 1.5 sacks for Brandon Bryant. And then the other one, the Bills traded.
Bam Johnson.
Right? Bam Johnson Darryl had a Johnson. Sack and a half last year. Yeah, he had 1.5. So real quick, anybody who's going to lead the team in sacks this year in preseason? Maybe 1.5 or 2 sacks.
AJ Epenesa. I bet he plays a significant amount, and I would guess that it's him.
Okay, I'm going to go Shaq Lawson. So we'll keep it the same kind of way. Shaq gets the quarterback once or twice, maybe a scramble, and he's in the backfield, and he grabs him or something.
Yeah.
That'll count as a sack. All right, Joe, you got the rest of the way. I got a production meeting down here at One Bills Drive, but we will be all over it tomorrow, and I'll be back with everybody tomorrow on the pregame and radio broadcast of the Bills and the Colts. Preseason starts at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Joe's got you the rest of the way here in the Extra Point Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.